And welcome to our podcast, Francophiles. This is our podcast from the French Embassy in Washington, D.C. My name is Ariel, and I work at the French Embassy. You could probably tell from the accent that I'm not French and that I'm American, but I've had an interest in the French language, culture, and people for as long as I can remember. My work here, like that of many at the Embassy, is more or less about building bridges between French and American cultures. The purpose of this podcast? To explore with you the secrets of diplomacy and to help you discover our rich and fascinating work. From geopolitical interrogations to daily life at one of the biggest French embassies abroad, we decided to open up our souls and microphones to you and hope you will enjoy the ride. In today's podcast, we're taking you behind the scenes of one of the most impressive and exclusive mansions of Washington, D.C., the Calorama residence of the Ambassador of France in Washington, D.C. France has owned this beautiful mansion since 1936 and hosts famously wonderful parties here, and also, of course, private diplomatic dinners. After doing some research on the residence, I learned, for example, that French actress Catherine Deneuve once came here. I'm pretty sure American celebrities have dropped by the lovely estate as well. So, to find out more info on this house, the day-to-day, and secrets, I went to see David, the first maitre d', Lisa, the social secretary to the ambassador, and Nadir, the general manager to the ambassador. Although they had their hands full preparing the Bastille Day party at the residence, they still managed to take some time out of their busy schedule to chat with me. Thank you so much, David, Lisa, and Nadir for being here with me.
Of course. Happy to do it.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Well, obviously, I have millions of questions that I want to ask you about the residence. But of course, due to time, I've narrowed it down to a select few. So maybe we can start with the next big event that's coming up that you guys are hosting here.
Yeah.
The Bastille Day party.
Oh.
My French. Can you tell us a little bit more about the preparations?
Absolutely. We expect about 500 people. For the menu, it's going to be a variety of salted and sweet canapés. Finger foods, appetizers, gougères, foie gras, macaroons, and cannelés.
Sounds really good. So let's talk a little bit more about the French residence itself. I heard that you guys have a wine cellar here. Is that true?
Yes, we do. We actually have a wine cellar and we carry French wines exclusively. And our aim is to share and educate the wealth of the French wine culture.
Okay, when it comes to the wine cellar, to what extent is the ambassador actually involved with choosing out the wines?
Yes, the ambassador absolutely participates. It's his word that decides. Oh. So we prepare a proposition for him based on what we find interesting, and he validates the proposition. So it is done entirely in collaboration with the ambassador.
So what's the biggest party you guys have ever thrown here?
Usually we average about 300 to 500 guests. But in this past Christmas party, we broke our previous record and had over 750 guests.
Wow, that must have been a busy night for you guys.
It was.
On a different topic now, what is the difference between the service à la française and the service à l'anglaise?
For the French service, the guests will have an empty plate in front of them. The chef will prepare a platter with food, and I will bring that platter on the left of the guest. In the French style, the guest serves himself, and it would be like with the tongs or whatever silverware will be on that tray, and they help themselves and they serve their own plates.
So how do you decide when you're going to do which service?
There's a lot of protocol that goes into place.
Literally.
Like who sits where. Most of the time, the ambassador will sit in the middle so that he can be closest to the most number of guests, which is the French style. And then the more well-known style that people people see in movies, for example, is actually the English style, mm-hmm. where he sits at the head of the table, sort of like a president does, if you will. And the counterpart, or usually like the wife, is at the other end, and each one is hosting one half of the table, if you will. Based on who the guest is, who the guests are, if you have a lot of guests that are at the same level, then à la française would be better.
Yeah, we almost strictly do à la française for the table.
Yeah.
The only times we've done English service is if there's someone of very, very high rank who is also inviting people on their end. Mm-hmm. For instance, perhaps the ambassador will co-host a dinner with a different ambassador. Let's do it English style so that both of us are equal rank. We're both inviting people, like we collaborate on this event. They're both of our guests, so I don't want to put myself in a higher position. So depending on what the dinner is about, usually the person across from the ambassador is the next highest ranking person.
So this has nothing to do with friendship. I always thought it had something to do with who liked who or who you wanted to sit with, so none of that plays a role in this case.
It's those small details that play a very big role in protocol that people forget about, something as small as, am I sitting on the right or the left of somebody?
Yeah.
Fall in the hierarchy of protocols. So it's a rough one out there.
Delicate.
Within ambassadors, the way that they're ranked in terms of like U.S. protocol is who's the most senior. So a tiny country, Fiji, let's say, like if he's been an ambassador since like 1984, he's going to outrank every other ambassador in this city. It's not based on how important your country is. And then for the U.S. states, they're ranked by who was the first in the union. So if you have governors, mayors, things like that, the order of protocol for the states is which state was the first in the union. So Delaware. Is always going to be the most important of all the governors in terms of protocol.
And it's diplomacy in action.
David, I heard that George Clooney has been to the French residence before. Is that true?
It could be true. We do have these kind of guests that come to the residence, such as actors, celebrities, as well as political figures. A few years ago, we did have Aretha Franklin that came here for dinner.
Wow. Can you name drop a few other people, or is that asking too much?
For people that we've had here that actually I admire, we've had Madame Secretary Madeleine Albright and Justice Ginsburg, who have been here at the residence.
Very impressive. Okay, and what about this neighborhood? I've heard there's some pretty big names that live around here.
In this neighborhood, there is indeed, we do have some well-known residences, but it will always remain best known for the French ambassador's residence. Yes, there is a rumor that former President Obama and daughter of the current president reside in this neighborhood. Of course, originally, the inside was more of an English style, but it gained a French feel under the influence of successive ambassadors. And so today, the interior of this house is thoroughly French.
Is it true that it has a nickname?
Yes, we have been known as the Little White House of Washington, D.C., primarily because of the close relationship between France and the United States, and that the residence resembles the White House in its architecture, but obviously at a much smaller scale.
People want to be here because it represents l'amitié franco-américaine. I mean, this building represents that friendship, and it's the reason why we have Lafayette and Rochambeau hanging in the entryway. It represents America's very first ally.
Just like you would find the statue of General Lafayette and Rochambeau across from the White House at Lafayette Park. At the residence, you can find George Washington and Ben Franklin.
Could you tell us one thing that we don't know about the French residence?
Most people don't know is that its true title is the Residence of France and not the Ambassador's Residence. And the reason that is because it is an extension of the Minister's Hotel in Paris. It belongs to the French citizens.
Thank you so much, David, for being here with us today and opening up about the residence. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to thank Lisa and Hadir as well for your time and answering all of our questions.
A big pleasure.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. And if you're curious to see what this amazing residence looks like and see some of the artwork inside, be sure to check out our Flickr account, France in the US. If you'd like this podcast, please subscribe to it. Do not hesitate to share with us your thoughts on our podcast or what you'd be curious to hear more about. Let us know on our website, www.franceintheus.org, or send us an email to info@ambafrance-us.org. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, à bientôt.